Thank you very much. Cameras, I just want to tell you that I move. I walk around. I'm a little ADD, so you're going to have to follow me. Usually end up in the corner of the room. So, all those who think they're sitting in the back, in the middle of my speech, you'll be sitting in the front. Okay. I'd like to thank the Shmooze for giving me a chance to come out to Queens. Baruch Hashem, even my satellite that I have in my car to find it also gets mixed up in Queens. It was like talking and asking me questions like street, road, place, terrace, what's going on over here? But anyway, Baruch Hashem, we're here. I would like to thank the Shmooze. I'd like to thank TorahAnytime.com for being here. They seem to be everywhere. I used to have a private life since they met me. That doesn't exist anymore. I was just telling them last night, my daughter came home. She had a project today. She needed a Dvar Torah. It was about 11:45. And I was sitting in the kitchen and I said, okay, I'll look up a Dvar Torah. I'll give you a Dvar Torah. And as I'm saying the Dvar Torah, right above where in our kitchen, we have a skylight. And as I'm saying the Dvar Torah, I'm thinking to myself, oh no, there's no way the Torah Anytime is on that skylight. There's no way. And I looked up there and I thought I saw your face over there. So we kept them out of the house. Anyway, they're amazing. Wherever you give a shir, they're there. So, and the Shmooze is absolutely amazing. The more I hear about it, it's the guys, you got to use it more, you got to learn more. It's just an amazing concept. All right, so I'm here in Queens. You guys are here. So the minute you get bored, just raise your hand, okay? It won't mean anything to me, but it'll make you feel better. Okay, let's talk about Hanukkah for 2 minutes. And then we'll talk about Hanukkah for another hour and a half. What is Hanukkah all about? So if you ask any kid what Hanukkah is all about, they're going to tell you that, spin the dreidel, light the candle, and that's what Hanukkah is all about. Even though the name of Hanukkah itself has absolutely nothing to do with the candles. Chanukah, hey, we rested on the 25th day. From what did we rest? From a great war. If you ever get a chance to learn Megillas Chashmonaim, it's a Megillah that was written that the Sfardim in Spain, it was written and they still say it to this day. And it's a Megillah all about this unbelievable war that happened and the Maccabees and their father. And that's what Hanukkah, the word Hanukkah is Chanukah. Hey, we rested on the 25th day of this unbelievable war where five Maccabees and their father went to war with the Greek Empire. At that time, the Greek Empire was the empire that controlled the world. And if you read the stories that went on, they had elephants that was like tanks. They had an infantry. They had a navy. They were the army, and they went against five Jewish guys and their father, and they won. Chanukah Hey, they finished on the 25th day, and they rested. But we celebrate this holiday by lighting a menorah, and all the halachas of the holiday have nothing to do with this war. And the only memory of this war is in Al Hanisim that you say in Shemona Esrei. That's it. Meanwhile, the name of the holiday is the war. So what is really going on here? Is the candle that's important, or is the war that's important? If it's the war that's important, instead of taking your candle and putting it by the window, you should take a huge Maccabee, build a huge Maccabee, bigger than their, the big guy, the beard, whatever. I'm not going to name him in a shul, but bigger than him. Put him on your front lawn with a big shield, Maccabee, and a sword, and a guy that says Greek on him, and his head on the floor, and you have this whole scene, and then they can come look at our lawns, and we got this whole scene going out there. Five Maccabees, their father, Greek guy dead on the floor, elephants laying here, elephants laying there. We can have, they can come to Kew Gardens, all the Jewish homes, and say, hey, this is a tourist place, let's check it out. They got this whole war picture. Nothing. Ask a non-Jew, what's Hanukkah? What's Hanukkah? Oh, it's the holiday of lights. So what happened to the whole Chanukah? Hey, why don't we celebrate that at all? And why do we sort of have that only in Al Hanisim? Now, another question. I love to begin with questions. I'm Jewish. In Al Hanisim, it doesn't mention one word about the miracle of the candles. So when we talk about the war, we don't talk about the candles. When we talk about the candles, we don't talk about the war. If you look in Al Anisim, it says the following, very important for tonight's shir. I'm not going to go through the first part of it. I'm going to go towards the end, and it says following. After the war, V'acha Cain, after this, Bo Bonecha, your children came, L'dvir Beisecha. V'finu Es Hechalecha, they cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash, the Hechal. V'tiaruz Midrashecha, and they made it pure. V'dliku, Neros, they lit candles. V'chatzras Koshecha, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. V'kavu, Shmonis, and Mechanaka Elu. And they set up these 8 days. Hello? What happened to the one can of oil lasting for 8 days? The whole miracle of Hanukkah? You're saying Al Hanisim already anyway? You're talking that they lit the candles anyway? Why would the rabbis specifically leave out in Al Hanisim the miracle that we celebrate Hanukkah for? So we need to get a little bit clarity on what's going on over here. So one of the little things that we need to talk about, I'm not going to go into the... even though everybody today is into Kabbalah, and I'm not going to really go into the Kabbalistic side of Hanukkah, but just a drop. On the first day, it says that God created light, right? Vayomer Elokim hi'ar, vayihi'ar. Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. Hashem saw this light was good. Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or ben ha'choshech, and Hashem separated light and dark. Vayikra Elokim la'or yom, Hashem called the light day. And the darkness he called night. Okay, every little kid that learns in yeshiva knows that. But I got a little problem with that, and I'll tell you why. Because later on, it says the following. And this is the fourth day. Hashem is going to create the lights, the sun and the moon, right? Why is he doing that? To separate day and night. Right? Okay, the moon, the sun, and he put the moon and the sun on this world in order to light up the earth. But you already did that on the first day. On the first day, Hashem, it says here that Hashem created light and dark. He separated them, and he called light day, and he called night. He called darkness night. So what's going on here on the fourth day? And the answer, and that's the only Kabbalah I'm going to really talk about tonight, the answer is that when Hashem created the world, there was a very special light in the world. In Kabbalah, it's called Or HaGanuz, the hidden light. In this light, nothing died, nothing would rot, nothing would age, nothing would become sick. This was a very special light that Hashem brought into this world. By the fourth day, Hashem made a decision, whatever that means, of course everything is decided beforehand, that this light is not good for this world. Because if the Rishayim, the bad people, will live under this light, they will live forever. And they will do Averus forever. On top of that, in this light you have the ability to see from one end of the world to the other. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Or HaGanuz. He took this light and he hid it. He hid this light. Now what this means, how long it was, but it was out for, even though it was on the fourth day he created the sun and the moon, but it was out for 36 Sha'ot, whatever that means. It was in this world for 36 hours, let's say. And then Hashem said it doesn't belong in this world anymore, and he took it away from this world, and now we live under a sun and a moon and stars, and under that light, things die. Sun sometimes can cause chas v'shalom cancer. It's no longer a light that is just good. What did Hashem do with this hidden light? So we all know that when Mashiach comes, this hidden light, the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light, will come back to the world. Nothing will die. Everything will be healed. And that's the world to come. That's Mashiach. All the Kabbalistic Svarim, Hasidic Svarim, bring down that during Hanukkah, starting tonight, for the next 8 days, that light that was hidden, that light that brings life, and purity, and the ability to see across the world, comes back to the world 8 days a year. The 8 days of Hanukkah. And if you add up the candles that we light on Hanukkah, it equals 36. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8. Do the math. Equals 36. Every candle brings back an hour, a sha'ah of when the light was in this world. What does that mean? You go outside, it's sunny tonight? No. What does that mean that Hashem, during Hanukkah, sends everyone in this room and every Jew this light that was hidden? So I'm going to try tonight to explain this to you. And I'm going to answer those questions. The miracle of the war, we praise God. We thank Hashem. There were five guys with Matisyahu. They went out to war. Hashem saved us. We thank Hashem for saving us. But you could say that the reason Hashem did this miracle is because He has a chosen nation. He has a nation that accepted the Torah. If we would have gotten wiped out by the Greeks, the Jews wouldn't be here anymore. So we, in Modim, where we thank Hashem for what He does for us, we thank Hashem for letting us win the war that we're here today. But what is the thanks to Hashem that a little candle, what does it do for anyone here? Yes, we're all here today because five Maccabees destroyed the Greek Empire. But what does a candle in the Beis HaMikdash that lasted for 8 days instead of one day, what does that do for anyone in this room? Everything else that we celebrate, Purim. If it wasn't for Purim, we're all dead. Shavuos. If it wasn't for the Torah, we all wouldn't have the Torah. Pesach, we didn't get out of Mitzrayim, we all wouldn't have been Jews. Sukkot, the traveling in the Midbar, we wouldn't have gone through the Midbar, we'd never gone to Eretz Yisrael. What does a candle in the Beis HaMikdash, so it lasted for 8 days, so it was very nice for those guys, if it was. What does it do for me today? So the modim, the thank you that we give to Hashem, is I'm here today because you did this miracle. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is what Hanukkah is about, and this is what the Neros is about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thanks us on Hanukkah. And what God wants every Jew to do is to take a menorah and put it in your window and say to the goyim and to the world that I love God. The war showed how God loved us. The menorah shows the world how I love God. How? So now let's look again. How Alan Nisim talks totally at the end about the miracle of the Neros without saying it specifically. It says the following. Ba'u banecha. We're talking now to Hashem. Ba'u banecha. Your children came. Not Ba'u Yisrael. Not Ba'u HaMaccabees. Ba'u banecha. Your children came. Why do we call us children over here? Okay, we'll see. What did they come for? Lidvir beisecha, to clean out your house. Ufino sechalecha, to turn it over. V'tirus midrashecha. The Jewish nation, we did not have to use that small can of oil. We learn in the Gemara that there's a thing called tumo hutra b'tzibur. If most of the Jews are tamei, you're allowed to use things that are tamei. The Jewish nation was all Tomei. There was no Parah Aduma. They had just come from war. The Maccabees were Kehanim. They had killed people. The whole Jewish nation was Tomei. Tumo Hutra B'tzibur. They could have walked into the Beis HaMikdash, taken any broken can, and used it for the menorah. They did not have to look for some can that was pure. La Halacha, it's not B'di'eved, it's L'chadchila, it's not... If it's with Tameh, we can use any can. So we showed God how much we love Him. We didn't use that heter. We went in and we said, this is our Beis HaMikdash, this is where God rests. I can't allow God to rest in a place where the Greeks came and put their movies and their internet and their iPods and their... all their rock and roll and all their tuma stuff that they stuffed into this, all their Hellenism and all their Greek goddesses. This is not the house of Hashem. We are his children. Uvo bonecha, this is my father's house. So the first thing they did when they walked into the Beis HaMikdash is they cleaned it out. Then they made it tahar. Then they went looking for this little pach shemen. And they saw a can and another can and a big can and another big can. They said, no, no, no. We have to find a can that has not been touched. Why? Because this is our God. This is our Father. We are his children. It's not good enough to use a heter. We're going to find purity. And we're going to give him this purity. And there was a huge argument. There were rabbis that said, you can't do that. You ain't same chal anes. You can't depend on a miracle. You can't use one can. What's going to happen? 7 days, it's going to be dark. 1 day it's going to last, and 7 days it's going to be dark. We can't depend on a miracle. So the other rabbi said, use the tamei dika oil. At least in the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be burning for 8 days. And they said, but you don't understand. We have been in this tumah. We have belonged to the... I don't have time to speak about it tonight. Yafes. Beauty. Goddesses. Hercules. Strength. All this chitzainius. That it's important how beautiful you are. It's important how you have Venus. This is all that they believed in. All this chitzainius. And the Jews said, enough! I'd rather have one moment of pure light than 8 days of impure light. Because God is my Father. And I am done. And I am fed up with impurity. So we're going to search and we're going to look until we find one pure can of oil. And the miracle was not the can of oil lit for 8 days. The miracle was that there was a can of oil. The question is always asked, the first day is no miracle. They had enough for the first day. And one of the great rabbis' answers is, how did the Greeks miss one can? Oh, we're reading the story. They just happened to miss one can. Every can in the Beis HaMikdash they smashed, just happened that they missed one can. No. You know when this can was created? This can was created in Chumash. It says that when Yaakov Avinu woke up, that he took oil and he anointed the rock. Where did Yaakov Avinu get oil from? Everybody here knows what Rashi says, that Eliphaz, Esau's son, stripped Yaakov of everything he owned so that he could tell his father, Ani Chashav Kemeis, that his father, that Yaakov is dead. He wakes up from a dream and the Chumash says, he takes a can of oil and he anoints the rock, and everyone asks, where did the can of oil come from? So the Medrash Rabbah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that can of oil when he woke up. That was a can of oil that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he put that can of oil next to Yaakov when he woke up. And that can of oil was the pach, the little can that it says he went back over and he fought Esav on. It was over that can. And Chazal says, why did Esav fight him over that can? Because Esav knew that one day the Jews are going to look in the Beis HaMikdash and they're going to look for something pure because they're fed up with impurity. And Esav said, Yaakov went back to get that can. You're not getting that can. I'm fighting you for that can. Because that can is what's going to save the Jewish nation. And today, in this year, we're going to light menorahs, which is a continuation of that can. And that can, it talks about what happened to that can. It went to the Beis HaMikdash. They anointed all the kelim with that can. That was a can, and that can is going to be the can that's going to anoint Mashiach. I'll show it to you. The Zohar says it straight out. The Medrash says it straight out. That can of purity that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Now you're going to ask me, how was it sealed by the Kohen Gadol? It was sealed by the Kohen Gadol of all Kohanim Gedolim. It was sealed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says. So why did we deserve to find that can? Because we looked for it. Because we weren't happy with Tumah. Because we searched. And they say that if you look in the Al HaNisim, it's not talking about the Beis HaMikdash, because what does it say? That every single person in this room is a Beis HaMikdash. And God wants to dwell in you. So what the Al HaNisim is unbelievable. What it's saying to us all is that if you want God to dwell in you, go inside. Ufinu Zechalecha. Clean yourself out. Clean out all the tumah that's in your heart and your soul. And then, Hidliku Neiros V'Chatzris Koshecha. Then you can light the candle. Chanukah is a time to go inside and to find something in you that's pure. Every person has something in them that's pure. And if you take that something and you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not pure, not everything about me is pure, but I'm looking inside myself for a Pach Shemen. It's not good enough to be Tamei. Yeah, I can be Tamei and I can do a Averus and I can daven, I can put on my tefillin, I can learn. Not good enough. You're my father, I'm going to give you something. Hashem, something that's pure. And what's the Midah Keneged Midah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'derech HaTeva, you gave me something that's pure. So whatever you're working on, movies, this, that, whatever it is in your head that you're working on, I'm going to help you just with that. Chanukah teaches us, no. You want to look for something that's pure? I'll take that Teva, that thing that's pure, and I'll make 8 days out of it. You know what 8 days is? 8 days represents a person's whole life. 7 days represents, David HaMelech says, is 70 years. That represents a person's whole life. 8 days is already to the next world. Says our Kodesh Baruch Hu, you look for something pure in your heart, you work on yourself, I'll take that one little thing and I will make it spread, I will make a miracle in your soul and in your heart and in your being like you never saw. But you have to search. You can't just go for the bidi'evez. Yeah, it's okay. You have to search inside of yourself and you have to find that one thing that's pure. And therefore Hashem says on Chanukah, don't put no Maccabi in your front lawn. Show the world what you did for me, not what I did for you. Show the world that you cared enough to go and search, to light one day absolutely purity, and that you were fed up with the schmutz, and you were fed up with the dirt, and you were fed up with Hellenism, and you were fed up with the chitzanias, the materialistic world, and you said, I am not resting, I'm going through this space of midrash until I find something. And that's why Hashem put it there. And therefore, every person, it's a little Kabbalistic what I'm talking about, I'm not going to go there, but every person on Chanukah has a Pach Shemen. Every person has a small can of oil, a small part of the neshama that is not touched by the Greeks. The Greeks is the Satan. There's some part of us, no matter how bad, no matter what we do, if we search inside, we will find there is a pach, a little can of oil in there that is sealed by God, that has Yud Kei Vav Kei. I'll tell you a story. It wasn't for tonight, but just on this matter of Yud Kei Vav Kei, I had a student. And he was in elementary school. I taught him in elementary school in eighth grade. He graduated and he ended up going to public school. And he ended up going totally off the derech. And he ended up becoming a Buddhist. Went to the Himalayas, did his thing, tattooed all over his body. He had Buddhas all over him. He was like one big Buddha. And I try to tell him, like, if that guy can't lose weight all these years, he sits there with a big belly, how could that be God? I mean, I know people that aren't God that can lose weight. Like, how do you believe in Buddha? He didn't think that was very funny. But this is where he went. And I heard about him. I didn't see him. He was in my class 13. I probably didn't see him until he was about 20, 21. Where did I see him? At a wedding, his brother's wedding, who was also in my class. And guess what? They put me on the table of the family. And there is my old student, Howie. And he's sitting with a non-Jewish girl. And the non-Jewish girl is sitting on his lap in front of me, not very well dressed. And like a chutzpah, like he knew I would be there. And he was like, yeah, Rebbe, you know, what are you going to do about it now? That was the attitude, total attitude. You know, you're sitting by your rabbi. I never did anything to him. Sit, you know, she's not Jewish, whatever it is. Sit next to her. But why does she have to sit on your lap? But I'm a cucumber. I just sit there. I have to, you know, look at the situation. I'm like, I'm not reacting to this guy. So, Chas and Kala come in. And, you know, that first dance, a non-religious wedding, is the rabbi's dance. You know, they have a little mechitza, like a tree, in a little tree. And then they dance with the rabbi for 5 minutes. And everyone's like, okay, is it over? Is it over? And then the rabbi's finished dancing and comes out all the strobe lights and the music. And everyone's mixed dancing and but I got the first 5 minutes. I got that 5 minute dance. So I went over to Howie. I said, Howie, how about, like, you know, maybe she can get off your lap, like, for 5 seconds. And maybe you come do one dance for the old times. So he turns to her and he says, so what do you think? Can I dance with my rabbi? So she says, yeah, I don't see any problem. She wasn't angry at, you know, at the world. So I have no problem. So he gets up and we're having this dance. And I'm like, my head is flying. What do I say to this guy? So I grab him And I pull his, I give him a big fat kiss on his cheek. I remember it like today. And I whisper in his ear and I say, Howie, no matter what you do, she can dance on your head. I don't care what she does. I will always love you. Very nice, right? Good rabbi. Good move, right? Then I said, and you know what? I love you so much. You deserve another kiss. And I went to the left side of his face and I gave him a big, fat kiss. And then I whispered in his ear, but Howie, you're going to hell. The Rambam says, hug him and hit him. I hugged him, then I hit him. That dance didn't last very long. And I said, you know what? I said, maybe you're right. Maybe Buddhism is the right religion. You know what? Come to my chabura Tuesday night and you get up and tell my boys about it, you know, and let's see, you know, maybe tomorrow I'll start doing yoga and chi and we and all that stuff and we'll get with the energies, you know. I can handle this. I don't know, the shaving of the head, I always had to think about my hair. I don't know if I would do that, but everything else I would do. Okay. So he says, okay, yeah, no problem. So he came to my chabur Tuesday night and he got up and he spoke about Buddhism and the whole business, and then I got up and Baruch Hashem, I was taught very well and I took it apart. And so he came back and this went on and the relationship began to develop, Baruch Hashem, because everyone has that pach of Shemin in your heart. And he decided he's going to Eretz Yisrael. We're sending him to Eretz Yisrael to see what's going on. We were fighting with the girl that he was dating was a Buddhist also. Very big into it. Very, very big. And the klipa was pulling one way and we were pulling the other way. And we said, okay, he's going for 3 months. You know what? He's a smart boy. Let him. He spent all this time learning Buddhism. He never spent any time learning Judaism. Right? So, they sound alike, Buddhism. You know? Let him go to Israel. Let's see what happens. So he went to Aish. Didn't work. He wasn't the kind of guy that wanted, you know, he's like very emotional. So he ended up in another yeshiva where they were very, very emotional. And he stayed in Eretz Yisrael and he flew. I mean, if you saw him and you saw me, you think he's the Rebbe and I'm the Talmud. He's got a long beard, right? His tzitzis are down to the floor. He's amazing. And he called me up and he said, I got a very big problem. How can I date anybody in Israel? I mean, I got tattoos. But now I have tattoos. I got tattoos of Buddha. You know, it's one thing if you have like, you know, I mean, nothing's good, but, you know, if you got that barbed wire, you know, that's pretty scary too. But, you know, or a heart or something like that, it's all wrong. But like, you know, how do you explain to a girl, like, you know, don't bow down to me because you'll be bowing down to Buddha. You know, that's it's a scary concept. So he says, Rebbe, I think in America they'd understand me more. So I'm coming home in 2 weeks. I said, okay, fine. You know, it's important that you shouldn't be alone, that you need a shidduch. You know, we'll see what happens. Anyway, his Rosh Hashiva read him a shidduch. And he called me up and he says, like, I'll go out with her. You know, I'm coming home in 2 weeks. It's not going to work. Hashem runs the world. He goes out once. He goes out twice. Now, this guy was wearing sweaters till here and till here. At 95 degrees in Israel, this guy's wearing sweaters because he had the tattoos were also on the lower part of his neck. And he was ashamed of it, whatever it was. You know, that was his Gehenna, you know. The famous story, the Holocaust survivor said, the tattoo on my hand is my Gehenna, and that's your Gehenna, and I got to deal with my Gehenna, and you got to deal with your Gehenna. But he was very nervous, and he went out with this girl, and he liked her. And he calls me up before the fifth date, and he says, I like her, Rabbi. But you know, like, when a minute I'm going to tell her, first thing she's going to do is say, really? And then she's going to say, goodbye. I said, listen, Howie, there's no way around it. You can't get married and then tell her. That's not a good idea. So you can imagine he was very, very scared. He really liked it very much. And I just want to tell you, because it has a lot to do with what I'm talking about tonight. So I just want to tell you how this date went down. So their fifth date was like amazing. And at the end of the date, he turns to her and he says, I want to tell you something. And she's thinking, she repeated this. She's like, here we go. You know, you're really a good friend, but I don't see this going anywhere. Huh, guys, you recognize that line? You know, I really like you. You're really nice, but I don't see this going anywhere. That's what she thought was coming. But what he says to her is, listen, I really like you very much, but my past is very different than my present, and I have tattoos all over my body, and the tattoos are are Buddhas. And she turns to him and she says, are you proposing? And he says, you'd let me propose? And she says, let me tell you something. She says, I don't see the tattoos on your body. I see the tattoo in your soul. And the tattoo I see in your soul is Yud Ke Vav Ke. You have Hashem in your soul. He told me he sat there and he cried like a baby. And the minute he dropped off, he jumped out of his car and he said, yeah! And they're married with two children. And anytime you want to fly him here to New York, you'd be glad to, you know. The only thing is you can't ask him. I brought him to Arnava, and the guy's speaking and he's crying and he's going into this whole memory. When we finish, all the girls walk up to him. Can we see your tattoos? Hello? So, a Jew that was going with a non-Jew, that was a Buddhist, that did every avera you could imagine, and then some. This girl saw the pach shemen in his soul. Because every Jew has a pach shemen in their soul. And therefore Hashem says, take the menorah, show it to the world. You could schlep us through the schmutz. You could schlep us through the dirt. But my nation is always looking for some purity somewhere. And I can tell you in my own life, and I'm not getting into my own life, I'm on film. But there are certain things that I stopped doing. Small things. Small things. I used to go to movies. And I said, only movies I'm going to from now on are rated G. Pretty much saying, I'm going to Disney, right? And my friends gave me the hardest time in the world, because the minute you want to grow, and they're not growing, they want to take you down, so that they don't have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, how could he do it, and I didn't do it. So when someone's on a diet, and they're your best friend, you're the one in the restaurant says, dessert? Chocolate cake? Just take a piece. Take a little. And you're like, hello, I'm on a diet. I lost 40 pounds. What are you doing? It won't make a difference. In their heart, they're really saying, if I get him to eat again, then I don't feel bad that I don't lose weight. That's how we are as human beings. So I made a decision, only rated G movies. And I asked my friends to back me up on it. So of course, every once in Shabbos, they called me up and said, it's PG-13, but it's not really. So I'm like, why are you doing this to me? It's like, I'm a vegetarian. I want to go out to eat with you. And you're taking me, you know, to a deli store. Like, what are you doing to me? And it was very, very hard, but I made up my mind. And then, of course, rated G movies went away. And then television, which was very hard for me, because I was, as a kid, I lived in the television, and it was only black and white, and you have to actually get up and change the channels. It's a whole different world. Okay, a whole different world. And television went, Seinfeld went, and at night I had in my head that, you know, I have to wind down at night, you know, so I got to watch Leno, you know, and I got to watch Letterman, and that all went. And then a lot of other things, my football, which Chas V'Shalom, I don't want to tell you that's going to go, because then you're not going to do anything. Football, we're not giving up. And all of a sudden, like, right, Waskin, how do you have so much time to go over the world and speak to everyone? You know what? Because I don't do anything else. But how did that start? That started with getting rid of, we're telling Hashem, I'm giving you one thing. I'm not giving you Atlantic City. I'm not giving that away. And I'm not giving TV away. I'm definitely not giving you rock and roll. I'm a drummer. And I'm not listening to no Shweki, man. No way. No way. Okay, I'm Stairway to Heaven. I'm not giving that up for Shweki. Okay, no way. I'm the Doors and the Beatles and the Cars and America. And come on, when music was great and there was no dirty words in there. So, Kosh Baruch Hu, you can't even be angry at me. And you want to hear who my favorite singer? You want to totally throw up right now, all on the floor? I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, it's not important. But so what happened? Music was like impossible for me to give up, because I'm music. This is who I was. And on January 1st, I could tell you the countdown, 1 to 100. Who wrote it? The words, the song, everything. In my dreams, in my sleep. Absolutely no problem. So how did I give music away? How did I give music? I gave music away. I listened to Shweki. Kalbach, okay, you know. I don't even listen to Moshav, because when I first wanted to give it away, and I was like, Moshav is like, you know, rock, and the Blue Fringe is like rock, and I'm like, you know what, if you're going to go to Moshav and Blue Fringe, then you might as well go to Zeppelin, because Zeppelin's better at it than they are. They're just putting a couple of Hebrew words, you know. I'll take Pink Floyd over that, you know, anytime. So I gave it up. How did I give it up? It's a miracle. Let me tell you, it's a miracle. It's a Hanukkah miracle. You know what happened? I gave up one little thing to Hashem. I said, I'm giving you movies, God. But that's it. Don't ask me for anything else. I'm just giving you movies. And I'm not giving you all movies. I'm just giving you all the movies except for G. Which is pretty much giving him all the movies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you gave me one jar that's going to last one day. Now I'll help you get rid of everything else. That's Hanukkah. That's the nace of Hanukkah. Going inside yourself and giving just one thing to Hashem. Not talking while your tefillin's on. Not talking in shul. One thing. And that one thing that you think you're doing is going to take you to the shmooze. It's going to take you to shiurim. It's going to take the girls to tznius. It's going to change their whole life around. And that's not what they were. They were just giving one thing. That's all Hashem wants. Just look inside for the pach shemen, the pure pach shemen. That's all I want from you. That's all He wants from us. And that's Hanukkah. And that's what this is all about. And that's why we light candles. And let me tell you, that is the Or HaGanuz. That is the light that's hidden. The light in your soul is the light that is hidden. Hanukkah is the easiest time. You think it's Yom Kippur. Wrong. Hanukkah is the easiest time for spiritual growth. And therefore, the Yetzirah makes Hanukkah a time where you go to Hanukkah parties and you play cards. And they gave the cards, it's not poker, it's kvitloch. So they gave it a Yiddish name. Ich gai spielen kvitloch. Ooh, mamish, the guy is unbelievable. Why? Why are you bothering us on Hanukkah with kvitloch? Why don't you bother us on Purim with kvitloch? Nobody plays poker. Nobody plays cards on Purim. Why not? Purim, you're drinking, you're eating, you're besimcha. Why aren't you playing poker? Why don't they have kvitloch for Purim? No. He came in with this idea, card parties, gambling, Atlantic City, Hanukkah. They're doing Hanukkah specials in Atlantic City. There are people, special felt they put on so that your dreidel is able to spin on the tables. It's unbelievable. Everyone, a lot of guys tell me, you know, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to AC tonight. Why are you going to AC tonight? Because it's Hanukkah. I'm like, going to AC because it's Hanukkah? Yeah, Hanukkah's gambling. So what happened? Because the Yetzer Hara knows that these 8 days is the biggest strength for a Jew to change is in Hanukkah. So he will do, and he came up with kvitloch, and he came up with all kinds of games, and all kinds of parties, and all kinds of crazy stuff to make sure that we don't change and we don't grow on Hanukkah. So this tonight that you're together, and you're coming here to grow, and you're coming here for a shir, this is the anti of what the Greeks wanted to do. The Greeks came in, would have come into here and killed every one of us because you weren't allowed to learn. You know what it said on the dreidel? Great question. You'll stump everybody. What did it say on the dreidel that they played with? There was no miracle. There was no miracle. What did it say on the dreidel? Miracle didn't happen. Miracle happened after Hanukkah. So what did it say on the dreidel? They're playing blank. Hey, Greeks are not that stupid. Why did you win? Why did you lose? What was on the dreidel? What was on the dreidel? We played dreidel in memory of them playing dreidel when the Greeks walked in. What did it say on the dreidel? What were the letters on the dreidel? They weren't Nes Gadol, Hayah Sham, Hayah Po. There was no Nes at that point. Oh, good question. What do you got? You got an answer? B'nei Yisascha asked this question. You know, the answer is amazing. The last parsha of the Torah, no, I think it's Vayigash. It could be Vayigash Vayichi, I'm not sure. Where Yaakov Avinu, we're going down to Mitzrayim, we're going into Golus, he sends Yehuda to open a yeshiva. You got to have a yeshiva. You know what? I thought you got to have more than one yeshiva. You got to have, my kid's not going to that yeshiva, he's going to that yeshiva. But he only opened up one yeshiva. Where did he open up that one yeshiva? Says the Torah, in a place called Goshna. That's where we lived the whole time we were in Mitzrayim, in Goshen. The Torah says Goshna. That's where we lived. So when the Rabbeim told their students, listen, we got out of Mitzrayim because of Tinoika Shel Bas Rabim, because we had a yeshiva. And the kids went to yeshiva and they learned. We're not going to let the Greeks do what the Mitzrayim tried to do and they couldn't do. We're not going to be so. We're going to put on the dreidel the word Goshna. And when you play, you'll remember that we were here before. We were here. There was a Mitzrayim empire And we fought them by being in Goshna and by being different. So you guys play dreidel. Gimel, Shin, Nun, Hey. The same letters as Neis Gadol Hayasham. The letters didn't change. The dreidel that they played with said Goshna. And God said, in the schus of these kids learning Torah, I'm going to change the Gimel Shin Nun Hey, and I'm going to make it Neis Gadol Hayasham. Same letters. They never changed. Now, an interesting, very interesting point is what's going to bring Mashiach? The shmooze. What's the question? How many times did you say I have to plug? Three? I did two. Okay, one to go. If you take Neis Gadol Hayasham, if you take the Nun, Nun equals 50. Let's look at our dreidel. Nun equals 50, Shin equals 300, Hey equals 5, Gimel equals 3. That's 358. 358 is the gematria of what? Does anyone know? Mashiach. The gematria of Mashiach is 358. Spin those dreidels. Goshna will bring once again Neis Gadol Hayasham. This program, the shmooze, the learning in the morning, the growth, will change the word Goshna once again to Neis Gadol Hayasham. Bezrat Hashem. I want to end. You want me to end. I want to end with just one more story that should give you all some chizuk. There was a young girl who lived in Chicago. She was from a non-religious family. And they didn't know much. And she went to a day school. We don't have that much left of that here, but she went to a day school, actually a Talmud Torah, where every Sunday she would go for a couple of hours and learn about Judaism. During the week she was in a public school. In sixth grade, this was not a religious, not an Orthodox Talmud Torah. This was a Reform Talmud Torah. And the rule was, even though they had Orthodox teachers, that if you are caught bringing one of your students home for Shabbos, you are fired. You can't, no Orthodox teacher was allowed to bring any student home for Shabbos. Well, in sixth grade, this little girl named Miriam, who really was very close to her teacher, who was a religious girl, the girl decided, you know what, so I'll get fired, but I want to invite her for Shabbos. And she invited this little Miriam to her house for Shabbos. And Miriam came to the house. This girl was just married, and she had never seen candles ever being lit before. And she came to the house, and her mora was about to light the candles. Everything was set up very beautifully. And she was like amazed. What is that? And her mora was telling her, candles for Shabbos. It makes shalom bayis. It's a woman's special mitzvah. It's the holiest time. A woman can pray for anything. It brings the Ar HaGadol.